Patnya uchahu. The wives of the executors of the sacrifice said. Yajnaha. The sacrifice. I am this. Tava. Your. Yajnaya. Worshipping. Kena. By Brahma. Shristaha. Arranged. Avidvastaha. Devastated. Pashupatina. By Lord Shiva. Adya. Today. Dakshakopat. From anger at Daksha. Tam. It. Naha. Our. Twam. You. Shavashayana. Dead bodies. Abba. Like. Shantamedam. The still sacrificed animals. Yajna Atman. A Lord of Sacrifice. Nalina. Lotus. Rucha. Beautiful. Dritsha. By the vision of your eyes. Punihi. Sanctify. Translation. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, "My dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene, and because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may again be invoked." So you can repeat. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said,
"The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said,
My dear Lord,
the sacrifice was arranged
under the instruction of Brahma.
Under the instruction of Brahma.
But unfortunately, Lord Shiva,
being angry at Daksha,
devastated the entire scene.
And
because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice
are lying dead.
Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may be again invoked." So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give them renewed life. That was the purpose of having animals there. Offering an animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life was the evidence of the strength of the chanting mantras. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the head of Daksha. Their bodies were lying about, and the sacrificial arena was turned into a crematorium. Thus, the real purpose of the yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of such sacrificial ceremonies, was requested by the wives of the priests to glance over the yajna arena with his causeless mercy so that the routine work of the yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to prove the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantras. They should not have been killed, as they were by Lord Shiva to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. Okay. Patnya uchu Yagyoyam tava yajanaya kena shishto vidvasta pasu patinaja vdatshako pat tam nas tvam shava shavana ashayana vashantamedam yagyatmana lina ruchadrusha punaihi. So Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shilakya Chakshurun Miditam Yenatas Mai Shigurave Namaha. So as we mentioned before, each one of these classes of entities who are praying, either individual entities or classes of entities that are praying to Krishna, have their particular outlook on life. And so their prayers are in turn or in terms of their outlook on life. For example, previously we were reciting Lord Indra's prayer to Lord Vishnu, and Indra was praying for the Lord to punish the demons who were envious of his devotees. And of course, Indra was positing himself, or positioning himself as a devotee. And Lord Brahma was talking about how the Lord's personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through different processes of acquiring knowledge. So it's interesting, his history shows that he tried to understand the Lord through the ascending process, that is, right after Lord Brahma was born from the lotus flower, he tried to dive into the stem of the lotus flower, tried to understand the Lord, and was unable to do so. He actually heard the sound tapa tapa, and hearing that sound, he engaged in austerity, and by his austerity, the Lord agreed to reveal himself. So, anyway, so all these different verses are actually indicating the mentality of the people praying. That's very important to understand. So in this particular verse, you have the ladies praying, because patnya means, patni actually means wife. And you have a saying in Sanskrit, dharma patni, means a wife that is accepted according to dharma, or a dharmic wife. There's two ways to understand that. So what do we mean by that? Like a wife that is accepted according to dharma means that the wife is taken as a wife according to some dharmic procedure. There's different dharmic procedures that are there. There's the arranged marriage, there's the Rakshasa marriage, there's the Gandharva marriage. Gandharva marriage means basically by agreement. Me Tarzan, you Jane, as they say. You understand? By agreement, you exchange garlands. And Rakshasa means kidnapping, like Arjuna did and Krishna did at various junctures. And arranged marriage basically means, you know, it's arranged. And then there's also the Swayambara, where there's a competition for the lady, which is really nice. It's better than the Olympics. In the Olympics, all you win is a gold medal. And in the Swayambara, you win a wife. Anyway, so, but Swayambara literally means also that she chooses her own. I think, actually, another word for another translation of the word putney also means enemy, but I'm not going to get into that. So sometimes when you have co-wives, they're called saputnaha. It means with. Sa means with. Putnaha, with wife or with enemy, which is really interesting. I know sometimes people are proposing polygamy, but there's a great danger in polygamy. It's called envy. It's one of the dangers. I mean, because there's many other dangers, like you have to work like an ass to maintain everybody. Or even in polyandry. Polyandry is the opposite side of the coin of polygamy, which means that the one woman will marry many men. Like the Pandavas, they were all married to Draupadi. This is by their mother's arrangement. Mother knows best. When Arjuna had won Draupadi, we find Kunti saying, whatever you've won, of course, she didn't actually look around and see what Arjuna had won. He just said, I won a prize. And Kunti said, whatever you won, you must share it equally between all the brothers. Share and share alike. When Arjuna heard this, he got, oh my God. And so anyway, so she married all the Pandavas. That's five Pandavas. That's good. I mean, at least you get enough money that way. You know, one husband doesn't give you enough money, you get enough from the other ones. Anyway, so she married all five of them. But there had to be an arrangement so there wouldn't be fighting over her. Because naturally, the husband has this sense of possession, that she's mine. Of course, the woman also has a sense of possession, he's mine. And so this sense of possession causes anger a lot. I've even seen sometimes, because I was talking to one devotee from India, he said, when you give initiation, he said, don't be very careful, don't initiate the woman before the husband. Because if the woman gets initiated before the husband will get envious of the guru. And we see that all the time. Not all the time. Some of the time. Not really. And, you know, because there's a sense of possession. She's mine. What is Gurudev telling her to chant for? Better she fans me than fans Krishna. Anyway, so otherwise, why would someone get married unless they want to be fans? Anyway, cook for, you know, serve in different ways. I don't know why. So, just like the Pandavas, anyway, getting back to the story, the Pandavas, they all got married to Draupadi. And so Narada Muni, he was very worried. He said, look, you know, we got to keep these guys together. You know, if these guys fight with each other, they forget about, you know, Paritranaya Sadunam, Vinashaya Jadushkritam. Forget about it, because, I mean, the good guys are going to kill each other. So this was a definite concern of Narada Muni. So usually Narada Muni is creating friction between people. But in this particular case, he was a peacekeeper. So he went to the Pandavas, and he basically said to them, he told them a story about Sunda and Upasunda, who were two demons. They couldn't be defeated by any means, because they had a benediction from Lord Brahma that they would only die being killed by each other. So he went to, so he told the story about them, and so, but Lord Brahma had a plan whereby they would kill each other, and that would be, they would fight over the woman, the Tilottama, who was created by Vishvakarma. I mean, if you want to get someone really beautiful, call for Vishvakarma. He's the architect. He can do some architecture on your body. The original plastic surgeon, you know. Maybe if we have health problems, we should call for Vishvakarma instead of go to the chiropractor. Anyway, this is a good idea. Pray to Vishvakarma. So anyway, he made this Tilottama lady, and she was so beautiful, even the demigods had to grow some extra eyes just to see her. And the back, you know, when she circumambulated them, they just, they didn't want to turn their heads and look unchaste, so they just grew other eyes in the back of their bodies. So then she went and saw these two guys while they were drunk, and they proceeded to fight over her and killed each other. So this is a great problem when one has co-wives or co-husbands. Just a little caution for all of you. So what happened is that there was some arrangement made by the Pandavas that they would actually have her for a year each. And they would switch off, you know, so the other Pandavas were counting down, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jai, we get Draupadi. Anyway, so, I mean, that's real brotherly love that you can do something like that, isn't it? You only get to be with your wife once every 5 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy, isn't it? Anyway, and of course, Krishna, he had 16,108 wives, but his wives didn't have to wait a year each. Otherwise, that would have been 16,108 years, or 16,108 days, which is God knows how many years. he was able to divide himself up, so each and every one had a palace, and you know, and each and every one thought Krishna's just with me. Even when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, it was the same thing. They were thinking, oh, Krishna's dancing with me. Or Krishna was with the coward boys. They were thinking, oh, Krishna's sitting next to me and sharing his food with me. Because he could do that. Whereas the Pandavas didn't do that. Anyway, so they each had a year with Draupadi. And they had this deal that if anyone intruded upon their intimate dealings with Draupadi, came into their room while they were talking or doing anything else, then that person would have to go into exile for so like 12 years or something like that. I forget the amount of years. And so Arjuna had to do that because there was a Brahmin who was being attacked, you know, was being robbed or whatever. And so Arjuna had to go because the weapons were actually kept in Yudhisthira's bedroom, which is interesting. I mean, why would you keep weapons in your bedroom? Unless you're going to fight with your wife. But anyway, so I guess in the South they keep weapons in the bedroom, yeah. Right, with our southerner here. Yeah, actually, they keep weapons on their in the back of their cars, you know, the trucks and everything like that, isn't it? They show off. It's like they're showing off their weapons. What? It's a part of masculinity here in the South. Because they don't have anything else to do with their lives. So the only thing they have to do is play darts one day of the week, or, right? Darts, and they play cards the next day of the week. So just like, you know, it's a male thing. So so Arjuna went in and he had to go on vacation, you know. He had to become a brahmachari, and that didn't last very long. But I'm not going to tell that story. So anyway, so it is quite dangerous to have several wives, or, I mean, what did you speak of Chitraketu, where his wives just poisoned poor Harshashoka? So that's why Patni can also mean enemy in Sanskrit. There's a little bit of interesting Sanskrit Sanskrit understanding. Anyway, so these were the wives of the Brahmanas. Now, talking about their psychology, let's get to the point that I wanted to discuss in class. They were naturally ladies. In those days, wives meant ladies. So, being ladies, they had lady concerns. And what were their concerns here? You know, cleanliness, sanctity. It's really interesting. Whereas the men, they just made a big mess of the place. You know, killing animals, cutting off people's heads. You know, even Daksha had his head cut off. And so, the place was messy. So the ladies, they wanted to clean up the place, basically. Isn't it? I mean, you see the other ones, they're interested, like Indra's interested in his protection. Brahma's talking about, you know, epistemology here. Right? Am I right or wrong? Bhrigu was talking about being forgiven for his offenses. Of course, Lord Shiva is asking for pure devotional service to always remember Krishna. But, I mean, but the ladies are thinking, let's clean up this place, you know, guys. Yeah, I mean, it's very practical. Where the men are just, you know, very philosophical, you know, thinking about all these big, high philosophical things, where the women are more down to earth. You know, this place is polluted. So let's clean it up. So, therefore you can see that women, in many cases, are just more intelligent and more practical than the men. And in society, I mean, it's interesting, in modern Indian society, the women are not valued that much. One of the reasons for that is this whole strategy or point that when a person gets married, when a woman gets married, she goes to the man's family. And when a man gets married, he keeps his family and takes the woman into her family. So the problem with that, I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying the problem with that, from the parents' perspective, just had daughters, is that they got no one to take care of them when they get older. Yeah, but that's a real big problem, because it's not like America where the son won't take care of you, nor the daughter, nor anybody. And therefore you need social services to take care of you, isn't it? Basically, you have these old people's homes where people are warehoused. Basically, you know, they're put in a warehouse, you know, until they croak. And then you have hospice, you know, which is right before you croak, to help you croak in a peaceful way. Anyways, not Krishna conscious, but peaceful. And anyway, so you have all these different facilities, because in the West, because the family doesn't really take care of people. I mean, I speak to many, many of my God brothers and God sisters, and I say, you know, what's going to happen in the future? And they say, well, ISKCON's not taking care of us, and our children don't want to take care of us. You know, our children are educated. They went to university, John Hopkins University. You know, speaking to people, John Hopkins, MIT, Harvard, everything like that. And they say, but they don't want us. They don't want the old people around. I mean, there's advantage to having old people around. Haven't figured out what it is. But anyway, the advantage to having old people around, the older parents, is that they help with the children. And the parents are just aren't overburdened with the care of the children. Like you see in the modern day, you know, it's just like 24 and 7. You know, I hear this from a lot of the ladies. I don't, because Radhika doesn't, she's more tolerant. That it's just like, you don't know when you're going to wake up in the middle of the night. You don't get a break for like 10 years, or even more if you have more than one kid. It's just like, huh? It's just, someone hasn't had a full night of sleep for, you know, like 10 years. Can you imagine that? I mean, I get grumpy if I don't have a full night of sleep for one night. You know, men can't do it, but, you know, women are somehow the more devoted. So, you can imagine in 10 years, you know, not being able to sleep a solid night, huh? You know, I just can't even imagine it. You know, it's just like, the torture that they put the terrorists through, the CIA was accused of doing when they took the terrorists. Anyways, but out of love. So, but the point is, when you have the expanded family, then you have people to take care of, and it's just like, it's wonderful. Just like I go to visit people, many of our congregation members, and the mother's at home, and she also makes sure that the kids are religious, too. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to having old people around. I'm saying this because it's an advertisement for keeping me around when I get older. So anyway, so there's a lot of advantages. It's not only you got someone to babysit. I remember when I was young, the babysitting was done by some stranger, and there's so many dangers from that too. You know, the babysitter brings her boyfriend over, has illicit affairs in front of the little baby, or the child sees this, and, you know, either becomes traumatized or gets this, like, message that, you know, that's what they should be doing. They become sexualized early, or the babysitter brutalizes the kid, you know, or neglects the kid, so many things like that. So that, you know, that it's not only that you get a good babysitter, you know, because the grandparents are actually very good babysitters. Even though before they would never pick up a child or anything like that, you know, grandparents naturally. Anyway, you know, grandparents or granddad like that. It's interesting. Even my disciples introduced me to their children as grandfather. Grandfather time. So there's that advantage, but also religious principles are actually, and family traditions. You may think, what's the use of family traditions? I mean, people in the West, we don't think about traditions at all. Family traditions, do we? I mean, huh? Especially in America, what's the family tradition? Isn't it? I mean, it's just like, you don't hear that. I mean, I didn't hear that when I was young, and what to speak of now. You know, what is the family tradition? To go out to a restaurant once a week? That's the family tradition, isn't it? you know, go to Walmart together on Saturday. You know, it's Saturday. Let's go to Walmart together. And the whole family spends their Saturday in Walmart. Or in the summer, everybody goes to the beach together. You know, this is what we consider in America to be family traditions. Or we go to Disneyland once a year, Disney World once a year. What are the family traditions? Anyone else? Thanksgiving, you know, we eat turkeys once a year. A what? Christmas, you know, we all buy presents for each other and get this big tree and, you know, eat a turkey also on Christmas. I mean, these are different family traditions. I mean, it's just like, huh? In America, you know, it's hard for us to understand the family tradition. But Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he mentioned this. He said the family traditions will be destroyed. And he wasn't talking about Walmart either. Arjuna was talking about the family religious traditions. In other words, traditions, you get up early in the morning, you worship together before you go to work. These are traditions, you know, religious, principles of religiosity. You know, you protect your brother, your sister, all these are family traditions. So Arjuna was concerned because all the men were going to be killed and there wouldn't be anyone to protect the women and there wouldn't be anyone to protect or carry out the family traditions. So that's another reason why it's important to have one's family, you know, older members of the family at home. So let's get back to the whole point I was making. So therefore, when a couple has a daughter, they're happy if it's the first child is a daughter. But when the second child's a daughter, they get more anxiety. And the third child's a daughter, You know, the whole idea, sometimes they just keep having people, and not people, babies, until it's a son. Because then, you know, otherwise they lose the daughter. The daughter just represents to people, like what? Dowry. And sometimes marriages in India, not sometimes, many times marriages in India are pretty expensive, isn't it? I mean, people will spend, even paupers will spend like $10,000 worth of rupees for marriage. And these are people driving a rickshaw or something like that just to get the daughter married. So they're just looking at the girl like some, you know, like a credit card debt. It's like an instant credit card debt, huh? Instant mortgage, you know, every time the girl's born. So if one has one girl after... Anyway, so then they get resentful, and in many cases, the girl is neglected, mistreated, not given proper medicine, or even aborted when they're in the womb, if they use an ultrasound to discover it was a girl. So this is one of the unfortunate byproducts of that particular understanding, that the boy actually stays with the parents, and the girl leaves her parents. You understand? It's one of the unfortunate byproducts. So what am I suggesting, actually? What I'm suggesting is that they take care of both of the parents. Because there's some traditions we find in India that are not actually ancient Vedic traditions, but are portrayed as actually ancient Vedic traditions. It's not that everything that's done in India is Vedic. I mean, Veda means knowledge. I mean, there's a lot of things, in fact, most of the things that come in India that come from the mixture of different invaders that have been there. I mean, you have Alexander the Great, who invaded India. You have the Muslims, of course, you know, who did so many interesting things in India. You have the British. You have the Dutch. And before the British were there, was a Dutch East Indian Company. There's a British East Indian Company. And so it's a mixture. You find so many different cultures being mixed there today. I really doubt whether the girl's family was meant to be neglected like nowadays. And I really doubt whether the dowry was actually enforced like that. I have some doubts about it. But anyway, there's the modern traditions. Let's say these are more modern traditions. Because in a Vedic culture, there would be respect for everybody, for the girl's family and for the boy's family. And someone wouldn't be bereft of protection just because they had girls. And so therefore, there wouldn't be neglect of girls. You understand? Anyway, so that's a very important point. So, and also, women bring a very important aspect to society that men don't bring. Like we're mentioning here, you know, the cleanliness, the orderliness, etc., like that. And we find that in many instances in the history, you know, the scriptural history, the women were more intelligent than the men, or even protected the men. Like in the case of the Kaliya serpent, had offended Krishna and offended all the residents of Vrindavan by attempting to kill him, by poisoning the Yamuna. And he attempted to kill Krishna, too. I mean, imagine, such a person. I don't want to say demoniac, because he's a nice guy now. But even after he got kicked out of Vrindavan, he was told never to come back. It's interesting, the acharyas say because he had offended the residents of Vrindavan, he could never enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, which is interesting. It's not, you know, that's it, finished. I mean, I'm sure Krishna would give him some mercy in some future birth, if he likes. But now he's in Fiji. That Prabhupada said that. So, but he was saved by the Nagapatnis. Nagapatni means the wife of the Naga. Naga means snake. Snake wives. Sometimes they're depicted as mermaids. Actually, Prabhupada had in the Krishna Kaliya temple, they're actually depicted as mermaids. Mermaids means like they have fish bottom and, you know, a lady hat, lady top. Which is interesting. It's interesting that many explorers, when they came to America, thought they had seen mermaids. But they were actually dolphins or porpoises. Did you know that? You didn't know that. That's actually a little history for you. What? Yeah, there were so many men desperate at being on a boat, they saw everything as women. So they saved their husband. They were more intelligent. What to speak of the Yajnaputnis, which is very similar to right here. We're talking about Putna Ucha, the wives of the Brahmanas. So the Yajnaputnis were the wives of the Brahmanas in Vrindavan who saved the but they actually took the ingredients of the sacrifice and fed Krishna and Balaram, whereas the Brahmanas wouldn't do it. So in many instances, you find the women much more intelligent than the men, and in different circumstances. So in other words, I'm not proposing feminism, but there should be a balance in society. When you just have a male-dominated society, then you have so much like violence and craziness and, you know, just like black and white thinking. And when you have a female dominated society, you just have mushiness. And you also have hating people, you know. You know, there's also violence there too. So there has to be a mixture between the two. When you put them together, even as the Chinese say, you know, yin and yang, it makes a complete circle. So it should not be biased against men nor biased against women, but each one has to come forth with their natural tendencies and abilities, and then you have a complete, well-structured society. Okay? I had more things to say, but that's enough. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada, to God.